low win rates, excessive discounting, challenging negotiations. Welcome to the Sales Readiness Podcast, a podcast brought to you by the Sales Readiness Group. We're an industry-leading sales training company that helps businesses develop highly effective sales organizations. This podcast is about one question: how to transform your team into peak performers. If you want the answer, keep listening. If you want it faster, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.
This is a topic that we're really passionate about, and you'll probably hear that as we get to dive in. And I really appreciate our partners from Allego joining us here to kind of combine some of what we put together from a research and a go-to-market and growth strategy perspective. And Allego seeing the application of this in the wild, right, with their clients and leveraging some of the AI tools they're bringing. So Jake, Brian, thank you very much for joining us today, and really really excited to get going. Jake, do you want to just say hello to the group, and we'll have Brian do the same?
Sure. Thanks, Ray. Thank you, everyone, for joining. My name is Jake Miller. As Ray said, I'm with Allego. I'm really excited about this topic. You know, I'm product marketing, but I came up through sales, very much a very passionate about sales tech and, you know, how we can use this to make sales more fun, more effective, more exciting for salespeople. So that's kind of the angle we're going to be coming at today. And, you know, like Ray said, we've got a lot of cool examples to show you how some of this stuff actually looks in the real world.
In the wild. Yeah, I love it. All right. Brian, welcome.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Brian Curry, head of research. I promise you that's me in the picture. I just grow a beard because I don't like the winter time. And fun fact, that picture is actually AI generated through, I can't remember the name of the service now, but I needed a headshot. I didn't want to spend all the money on a professional one. So I uploaded 10 photos of myself and it generated that. It was pretty close. So
nice.
That's the future.
Very nice. Yeah, I like it. Great. Well, let's go ahead and jump in. I will cover just a couple of housekeeping tips. You know, in terms of going through, Amy already mentioned about, you know, you can join telephone or computer. We will be using the chat throughout. And the one thing I would highlight is make sure that you change that dropdown if you're chatting in to all panelists or everyone, depending on the selection. So that we can see and you're not just chatting with the panelists, but we do try to make these webinars as collaborative as possible, and we will have opportunities for everybody to engage as we go along. So let's jump into the agenda here. You know, we're going to start talking about leveraging AI for seller effectiveness. You know, what does that mean? What are some of the options? Love to hear from some of you all what you're doing. We're going to talk about best practices. You know, how can we leverage some of the tools that are out there and understand what our top sellers are doing. And we'll share some research on what approaches are most effective these days and what we're seeing across our clients and in the industry. And then leveraging those best practices to really say, okay, how do we create teachable moments, you know, coachable moments in the field and leveraging tools to say, where are the opportunities for us to create those top sellers, right? To improve their productivity. And I think there's never been a better time where we can bring insights and data to the coaching conversations and really create a different type of engagement than maybe before, where we were just observing or we were using our judgment or, you know, in some cases, coaching on second party information, which is always challenging. So we'll talk about how we can do that and leverage, and then also how do we bring that into real-time role play and exercises and things that actually improve the skills and you know, help to close those gaps. So that's really where we're headed. What I wanted to do is kick off and have Brian talk about productivity and talk about our modern you know, sales environment today. You know, what's going on here. And where we're headed. So actually, I'll turn it over to both Jake and Brian to speak to this.
Yeah, I'll jump in here. So starting with a little bit of context, we wanted to share with you all some recent research findings that we're just starting to collect in terms of some data. The context here, why do we need to think about navigating AI in sales, right? Why did we put this webinar on the calendar? Why did hundreds of you sign up and, you know, 160 and counting of you here with us right now. In part, it's because we're all still just trying to figure out what these two letters mean. But also in part, it's because we have real problems to solve. And we think that AI can help us to solve them. And there are for sure some universal problems to solve. And it starts with the buyer. That's what's on the page here. I won't surprise anyone on this call when I say that buyers just buy differently today than they did even 18 months ago. We aren't the first to note this. A lot of these trends aren't new on the surface, but we're seeing some evolutions that are worth talking about for a minute. So if you start on the left side with more senior involvement, we've been hearing this time and again that buying groups are losing their autonomy over the decision. 60% tell us that purchases involve the CEO now, and even more involve the CFO. And it's not just the high dollar complex items where that's happening. We're hearing people talk about needing CEO approval for deals in the, you know, $3,000-$5,000 range. So smaller deals in context, but still going all the way up to the CEO. And then that second bullet gets even trickier, right? Buying teams are getting overruled by senior executives. So now much more than they ever were in the past. So this relates then to the middle here on larger buying teams. Our surveying, it's showing us a bit of a nuance in our understanding here that's really important. We all know that the numbers are large in terms of number of people involved and getting larger. What we didn't fully appreciate until like earlier this month, at least within our organization, is about half of the members of those decision teams are what buyers call ad hoc members. So there are formal members and ad hoc members. These ad hoc members jumping in and out of the conversations, and they just come in and they muck things up, they overrule. If they're more senior, they slow things down. So it's no wonder then on the right that when we look at indicators of selling productivity, they're showing us flat to declining pretty consistently. We've looked at this over the past 18 months and it just continues to show these numbers. Here we show deal size, but it's true in cycle times, just generalizations. And like, who can blame the sellers, right? It's harder than ever to know the buyer or to know the buying process. There are these invisible people who are in there making noise and screwing everything up, and more senior people coming in over the top and saying. So it leaves us asking what we can do to get an advantage. And for many of us, we wonder whether AI can help us with that. So Ray, if you can take us to the next slide, kind of shows how we've been thinking about AI just as a collective organization here.
Yeah, and before we do that, Jake, is this consistent with what you're seeing? And you know, what resonates to me is, yeah, it really is harder, right? And we all know, as Brian said, that there are more people involved, but they're more at a higher level. And this idea of ad hoc makes it even more challenging because they're swooping in and out, or you know, maybe the mystery decision maker. And so, you know, mapping the organization, doing some of those things, even more important. But is this similar to what you're seeing across your clients?
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, to the point of, it's just making sales so much more challenging. It's putting so much more of the onus on the seller to really bring insights to the table, to really be an expert in the buyer's business, if it's B2B, you know, really be an expert in their challenges and how they can, and how the sellers, you know, solutions can solve for those. You know, the other thing here that's similar that we're seeing is, you know, the amount of time buyers are spending on their own in a sales cycle too. So much more reliant on content. You know, and again, that puts that much more onus on the sales rep to be a true expert when they show up. So it's making it a lot more challenging. It's totally, we're seeing the same thing.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, you know, we kind of understand, hey, there's this challenge. By the same token, Brian, as you were mentioning, you know, we're jumping in on AI. We want to get our arms around it. We think maybe it can help in some ways, but we're kind of across the board. Do you want to talk us through what the research suggested here?
Yeah. Like ultimately what it's saying is we're thinking a lot more than we're doing here, right? On the left, our informal polling, this is some informal polling we did of individuals in some of our sales training courses across the past year or so. We see there's a ton of executive interest in how AI can help. 70% expected to play a significant role in their operations, and almost all of them interested in integrating into their sales programs. Now, part of this has to be about adapting to this new buying environment, right? Giving sellers the time they need to understand their situation, giving them better intelligence about the buyers who they're interacting with. The challenge is these ambitions aren't being backed up with actions, at least not programmatically, right? That's what the pie chart on the right there is saying. So with apologies for the smaller font of the legend, the punchline is 75% saying their companies have done literally nothing to prepare for AI in their organizations. Only 19% have guidelines and policies in place, 6% have training in place. So to be clear here, we may be doing experiments, we may be putting AI in place, but we aren't putting the foundations in place to gain the leverage that we need off of the AI, at least in the observations that we've been able to see. And Ray, I know you wanted to, put a chat up here, unless you have some comments before we do that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the disconnect for me is there's a lot of appetite, but we're not really there yet, or we're not really sure. And I think one of the other things I'll just add that we're seeing is because there's a lot of ad hoc implementation, the focus of AI so far has been, or a lot of it in a lot of organizations, around efficiency or kind of automation, like, hey, can we just offload this, or can we create a script that does this? And in fact, it's not improving the sales conversation, or it's not addressing this previous slide of, are we really getting to the right stakeholders with the right messages? And we'll talk about seller approaches a little bit, but I just thought, kind of interesting to see the disconnect now. So let's get that feedback from the group here. We have some other comments as well, and I'm sure we'll get a lot of input here. Actually, Bob just commented. He said it's about increasing efficiency, not effectiveness, and we need to think about effectiveness. We'll talk more about that as we go along. I'd love to hear what people are doing to leverage AI. You know, what kinds of things are you doing to leverage and improve seller effectiveness leveraging AI?
And Ray, while people are putting that in, because I hit the wrong button over in the Q&A, Michelle had a question about how old the stats are. These stats are from, what would you say, Ray, kind of Q3 of last year? Does that seem about when you ran those
series? Yeah, absolutely. We had a live a group that we took through, in addition to some of the additional CEO and SBI, you know, research that you've been running. But it's within the last 6 to 9 months.
Lots of use cases coming in the chat now.
Yeah, and I think it does speak to this is moving in real time, though. You know, and if we ask this in another 6 months, it's going to be different as well. We're getting some, you know, we're using it, not currently using it. Dan mentions we're using it for transcription and analysis with Zoom, and we'll talk about that. You know, conversational intelligence is just a huge and exploding area. Jake, you can speak to that a little bit later. Using it in e-learning development, so the great opportunities around, you know, scripting and helping to build out programs. Tammy said the training organization created a sales effectiveness training on how to use AI, so they're in that percentage that's actually leveraging and creating AI training. I think that's fantastic. Love to know more about that at some point. Mark is using ChatGPT to analyze sales data, identify customer trends and that are actionable. So really a lot of different use cases across the board. Anything else you're seeing, Jake, Brian in here?
Yeah, I can comment. I think, you know, I love the discussion around effectiveness, you know, driving, because the first thing that we all think of when we saw this was, wow, efficiency. We can, you know, supercharge the things that we do as far as speed. But the other thing that's really starting to emerge is that this really does help with effectiveness. And when it helps with effectiveness, that then fundamentally means that, you know, this is something that is not going to replace humans. And that's a huge, obviously, I mean, I feel like that's probably why we got such a big showing, the title of the webinar, The Human Touch, right? When you're talking about a technology that improves effectiveness, that's improving human effectiveness. And, you know, and really it's the best thing that we can all do is to start using this technology in any way that we can today, because it's not going to be AI replacing humans, but it may be humans who are proficient with AI replacing humans that are not in these jobs. So I think that this is a great thing to kind of call out and going to be part of what we, you know, keep coming back to today.
Yep, absolutely. And there are a couple of comments I just want to call out and then we'll keep moving, but around concerns around AI, right? You know, somebody mentioned about shutting off access or people are nervous about, you know, sensitivity, not having the controls in place. And I think that needs to be part of that program is, are we maintaining confidentiality? Are we leveraging the tool effectively to verify, right? It can hallucinate. Everything on the internet isn't true, by the way. So if the AI has been trained on that data set, you know, we may get inaccurate responses. So we need to be able to verify and validate that information. And those were some of the, there was another comment about, you know, what were the CEO's concerns? Well, they don't want to break anything, right? And, or put anything in jeopardy. The flip side of that is sales teams are using it. And I think that's what we're seeing, even in organizations that are blocking it. They're using it on their phones. They're using it on their laptops. They're going home to do their research. So, you know, the train has left the station. And I think as, you know, sales leaders and learning and development, sales enablement professionals, we need to figure out how to harness and manage that as we go along. And some of the things we're going to be talking about here.
Yeah, Ray, one thing I'll add to that is the fear that we often hear from CEOs is as you navigate the transition, how do you manage the productivity curve, right? Like the fact that it may be a little bit of create a dip in productivity in the short term as we're trying to just understand and get and reskill around some of these tools. While at the same time, like we've got ambitions with respect to the return of demand and trying to just make our numbers, right? And to what extent is adopting new technologies going to get in the way of it, right? It's a classic technology adoption challenge that's no different from implementing a new CRM in a way.
Right, yeah. We can't just think of it as a hack, right? We're going to plug it in and it's going to fix something. So, all right, well, let's keep going here. We want to talk about, you know, best practices, what's going on from a sales approach, from a sales perspective, and then how do we get more information around that, right? How do we get our arms around it and leverage? So let's get into that. And Brian, maybe you could talk us through, some of the audience may be familiar with the talent research that we've recently published, and we will make this available at the end. But maybe you could talk us through the seller approaches and what you're seeing here.
Yeah, if I can, I'm gonna take a step back and just give a little bit of context as to why we think it's important to start here. So if we think about everything we were just talking about, you know, programmatically trying to leverage AI in our sales motions and find the most high leverage ways to do it, it starts with knowing what the goal is. So a lot of times we think about the goal as more efficiency or smarter, more client or pipeline, intel. It's good, but more is not a strategy, right? So we see a big opportunity in starting with clarity on what we want the AI to do. So what are we aiming it at? Because it'll be much more effective. It'll be less prone to hallucinate, to steer us in the wrong direction, if we give it a bit of a target first. So that's where we want to start with our proposal of where you think you should be, where we think you should be setting the target, where you want to aim. And that's by getting clear on best practices. And then we can talk about then how do we use AI to operationalize around those best practices. So that's what we're getting at here. All right. So we conducted research, as Ray, as you mentioned, in Q2 of last year. It was based on a survey of 300 plus sellers and sales managers. And we used SBI's long history of evaluating seller competencies and tying that to some statistical analysis to see what common approaches we're seeing in nature around the deal. So I'm going to walk you through three findings here, in kind of a crest of the waves format, because we want to get into the practical aspects as quickly as we can, and we'll share some additional resources. But for now, right here, the first finding is that there are four distinct approaches that sellers appear to be taking to their interactions with today's buyers. Two of them being what we call push-based, two what we call pull-based. So narrowing the first one, these are sellers running a highly focused and a targeted sale. They're trying to reduce the noise, close down blind alleys that the buyer might be pursuing. That second one, provoking, these are sellers who are bringing new ideas on a regular basis to their clients, trying to get them to think differently, stimulate them to engage with a new solution. So that's it's a classic insight-led posture. So those two are the push-based. They're pushing their own process, their information to the buyer to drive them to a close. And then for those pull-based ones, the two on the right, the green-ish ones, first we have translating. These are sellers who are looking to quantify and contextualize the opportunity. Those are the keywords, quantify, contextualize the solution. And then finally, anticipating all the way to the right, focused on seeing around corners. Where's the buyer now? Where are they going to be next? What can I do to help them get there as quickly as and efficiently as possible by de-risking decisions? So push-based, pull-based. We call translating and anticipating pull-based because they're pulling the buyer specifics, their context into the motion. And they're winning, right? That's what you see on the page here. This is the second big finding. These pull-based approaches, they see shorter cycle times. And it's not on the screen here, but they also see larger gains in deal size than the narrowing or provoking those push-based strategies. But unfortunately, you see within the boxes there, the most commonly applied approach is narrowing, more than a third applying that. If you add in provoking, more than half of sellers are applying the less productive push-based approaches. So this is our first opportunity. The best sellers are applying more of a translating and anticipating approach. So we have something to aim the AI at, right? Aim for. Look for selling behaviors that are focused on contextualizing, using the buyer's data, anticipating their needs, collaborating internally for account planning, clearly understanding the buyer journey. So that's where we can start to aim things. But let me show you our third finding real quickly. Coaching isn't currently working all that well. And that's important, right? So we ask sellers a bunch of questions about the support they're getting, including a number about coaching and support directly. You see the needles across the bottom of the screen there. Coaching and support, it's just not moving things very much. It's a moderate impact on making sellers better at applying the translating approach. Very little, if any, on making them better at applying the anticipating approach. So in its current form, coaching isn't working. And this is about, as we think about it, it's how sales managers grew up. They were successful and often in a different buying environment where narrowing and provoking may have been more successful approaches. And probably more importantly, it's just part of the sales management and sales coaching motion oftentimes. It's just focus on where is the deal? What's your next step? And how are you getting them to close this month? But also these other approaches, the pull-based approaches, harder, they're more time intensive, they're more abstract. So they require just different engagements. So, okay, let me just summarize it because I went through pretty fast. This is where we believe AI comes in. So we've set it up, right? The buying environment is evolving. It's only getting harder. We need to help our sellers in that environment. And we want to use AI to do that because we see a big opportunity there. But we need to know what the best sellers are doing so that we can give the AI a purpose beyond efficiency and intelligence. Right? So the best sellers are applying approaches that are harder to execute, information rich, contextual, right? Translating and anticipating. And so that needs manager support, and they're not getting it these days. So for the rest of the session, we can show you how AI can help improve manager effectiveness in this context, and as a result, improve seller effectiveness as well.
No, absolutely. And great setup, because I think it'll be good to refer back to this. And, you know, there was a comment in the chat as well as I was reading along. I think David mentioned what Gen AI can't do is give a fearful AE the confidence to reach out and engage with executives. And that's why a skilled sales manager, you know, coaching is essential. And I think what you're also sharing is our managers don't often know what to coach on or how to coach. So they're left to their own devices to say, well, how are we going to help close this deal? Let me swoop in and be the super rep, right? And see if we can push this over the finish line. And in fact, that's the opposite approach that we want to be taking if we're looking at narrowing and provoking. And I think it's also, you know, there were several comments around efficiency and effectiveness. We can make reps more efficient, but that doesn't tell them what to say when they finally do get that C-suite meeting. And they show up and then the executive expects them to be more knowledgeable than they actually are. and they don't have the talk track. That's where the coaching and the insights from AI, I think, can come in. Jake, I'd love to get your take on the research before we move into the next section and have you share, you know, some of the specific applications here. Any thoughts or observations here?
Yeah, thanks, Ray. I think, you know, the most interesting, I love the comment about the confidence and how, you know, you will always need a human coach to coach sellers, because there is just something about knowing that another person, another human like you, has had a shared experience, one that you're about to go through. Nothing can replace that. It doesn't matter how emotionally intelligent an AI becomes. You know, having that human experience is that's part of what the coaching role is. And so I love that. And, you know, and I think this, the research shows that such a big opportunity exists around coaching and around helping, you know, using this technology to help make managers more human, help them, you know, key in on the things that are going to be more personal to the reps who they're talking to, do a better job at connecting, you know, bring out the best in what, you know, no robot could ever have, which is that human,
right?
Being a human.
Well, and we had a fantastic discussion in Enablement Forum yesterday along these topics. And it really resonated that what we want to do for our reps as well is help to make them improve that connection with our customers, right? Reinforce those skills that help them to be curious and to listen and to engage, because in the world of noise and automation and spam, that becomes even more important to cut through. And I think it's equally important with the managers that what we can do is provide better insights, better data, better things to coach on, but it still comes back to that human to human connection and that opportunity to sit down and have a great coaching conversation and then be able to rely on, you know, the wealth of information they can bring. So we're going to get into that, but anything else, Brian, before we move on here?
Yeah, just to say, I like Bob's call out here in the chat of, you know, AI, there's a difference between coaching and training, right? And in a way, I think what we're going to talk about is how AI can help us, help, to Jake's point, help humans to become better coaches, right? Is ultimately what we're aiming for here. So this is a good call out.
Absolutely. And I think we've all seen that with automated apps that provide feedback, is they end up becoming noise, right? One, either maybe we don't believe it, or if you send somebody, you know, 10 things they should do differently after the end of every call, their eyes gloss over, right? Mm-hmm. Versus that manager saying, no, let's sit down and have a conversation and really lean in. And yeah, great, great point that Bob called out. All right, so let's continue. We're going to talk about how do we leverage some of the tools that are out there, and how do we identify what we should be coaching on? And, you know, how do we bring that into those coaching conversations? But first, what I'd love to do, again, get feedback. You know, we think coaching is important. Well, let's assume that at least, though, as Brian shared, it may not be as effective as we hope it would be in moving the dial. What are the biggest challenges your managers are seeing with coaching, or what gets in the way of being more effective and doing it more and really prioritizing that? Love to get the thoughts from the group here. You know, what's getting in the way of good coaching? So we'll give folks a chance here. So, and I've used this this joke more times than I care to admit in our coaching workshops, but Richard, if this was the Family Feud, this would be the number one answer, right? The time is always the biggest constraint and concern. Coaching is perceived as an interruption. We have all these other priorities. Now we have more reports. We have more enablement activities we need to support. We have meetings. They just don't know how and don't have the time to do it. And I think the challenge there is, how do we create time, right? It's a very highly leveraged activity. What can we stop doing, or how do we reprioritize? Because if we coach effectively, it will give us time back, right? That's the promise. That's the leverage. Susan mentioned receptivity to coaching, and I think that's really interesting. You know, depending on the individual, do they even see the value? Maybe they're a senior team and they're pushing back, but it could also be how the coach is showing up, right? Are we really creating a coaching mindset? Are we making it truly collaborative and positive? Or does it feel like the manager's just telling me how to do it every time? What else are you guys seeing in the chat here?
See this one about it kind of relates to the time, right? Too much from Mark, too much time spent on pipeline opportunity development versus coaching earlier in the sales process, right? So there's also a bit of a function of what are you coaching on when you are doing the coaching and applying that limited coaching time that you apply.
Yeah, and I think we see that a lot. You know, managers are pretty good at deal coaching or opportunity coaching, because that's how they grew up, right? So helping to get something over the finish line or remove the roadblocks. What they're less skilled at is really understanding how to develop that rep and providing skills coaching, right? Identifying a couple of things that are really going to make a difference. And that's a more strategic approach. And it also takes a little bit more patience versus just saying, hey, you know, let's get this deal over the finish line.
Yeah, to build on that, a commonality, you know, that I'm seeing across the comments around time, that's classic, you know, not having enough time to coach well, or maybe not dedicating enough time, not doing it right so that it's going fast enough, et cetera. You know, the point about coaches needing to understand what to coach on. Again, I think so much of this comes back to what, you know, what we're talking about in this, and what, you know, what the reason we're all here for this webinar right now is, you know, AI, I think the promise is that it can help, and not just promise, it's happening today, helping humans be more human, right? At the end of the day, like, I think at the highest level, that's what it can do. And so, you know, think about it. If a manager who doesn't have enough time to provide good coaching, well, hey, maybe there's a certain amount of bandwidth that manager has going into a coaching conversation. Maybe two-thirds of the bandwidth is getting taken up in analyzing what the rep did or what they didn't do, where they should, what they should pinpoint, what things should they key in on. And so then they only have like a third of their bandwidth on bringing real human coaching into that conversation and really playing the role of coach. And again, this is where, you know, these technologies can help, because it can really sort of help the coach zero in on exactly, it can kind of do the work for them as far as these are the things that need to get done and the actions and the direction that it needs to go. Now you can take that and deliver real coaching with that. And that's faster, more effective, et cetera. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think because time was, you know, one of the top considerations, can we be more effective there, you know, get some time back in what we're coaching on? So identifying those things that are going to make the biggest difference, and then sitting down and having the conversation. And, you know, there was a question, well, what does being more human really mean? But I think what it means is getting away from, hey, just sending the dashboard or the report or an output from your call recording and saying, fix this, and more about sitting down and saying, let's have a conversation based on these insights and the data that we have. So let's transition and go there, because I think that'll be a really interesting conversation, and we can share some examples. I think you guys nailed all of these. I mean, we've heard these over the years, right? Managers don't have time to coach. They don't know how, and they're not really sure even where to focus, what skills to coach on. Maybe they're not prioritizing. They're only coaching the bottom performers, and you know, maybe they need a different intervention or some retraining or redirection, or they're completely forgetting about coaching their top reps who are, you know, frankly, the biggest flight risk. And also, we may be able to get even more productivity out of our superstars. So, you know, how are we allocating our coaching time? Do we have a coaching process that's scalable and replicatable? And sometimes coaching is even seen as, you know, only done when somebody's on a PIP or it's remedial or confrontational. We had a client who didn't even want to use coaching because it had such a bad connotation, because it was only being done when, you know, somebody was on their way out. And I thought that was really sad. So let's let's transition and talk about this, Jake, and maybe you could talk about some of the things you're doing within Allego and you're seeing across your clients to identify some of those coachable moments and what they can do.
Definitely. Yes. And I do want to address a couple of the questions in the comments. Great questions. One asking, I think Bob asking, we're not suggesting that we're going to replace the role of sales leader in learning the art and science of coaching. And then someone else saying, wait, what do you mean making humans more human? That's a little bit what I want to talk about here. It's certainly not anything about replacing. It's in fact enhancing. But what it's allowing, the human coach to do, right? Because again, coming from the premise of you cannot have a machine coach a sales rep. But what can the machine do? The machine can help the sales leader who has to have learned the art and science of coaching. It can help them key in more quickly across a wider swath of reps on the things that are going to make the biggest impact. And take, for example, this right here across calls. In a world without this technology, you as a sales leader or sales manager may have to be riding along with you might have to go on 5 ride-alongs to uncover 5 coachable moments, say one on each ride-along, right? And however long that takes, 5 hours of your time plus traveling, et cetera. Well, now you can say, okay, let me allow this technology to identify the coachable moments across a huge swath of sales interactions, and then I, as the sales manager or leader, I can come in and provide the coaching using that information. So it's really just a matter of, and that's kind of what I mean when I say, making humans more human. It's that allowing you to bring the fullness of your human experience, what you're able to share and bring to the table in a coaching conversation, the fact that you've been there, you've been through that, and so you're having to spend less of your time trying to find those coachable moments, right? So that's kind of what we're talking about when we say that. And that's what, so much of the, as we've seen, so much of the sales conversation is happening over video conference now. And so you're getting this these recordings of real world, real life interactions. So why not say, okay, let me go through and allow a machine to analyze all of these and pick out the moments that are going to be most effective for me to jump in and provide coaching on. And again, this doesn't take away from, you should also be doing ride-alongs. You should also be doing all of the things that you did. But this just now allows you to do, to provide that human touch many more times throughout your day to many more of your reps. And so you're spreading you're able to bring that unique human touch that you have that a machine will never have to more people more often on your team. And so that's kind of, again, being what I'm getting to this thing of helping you be more human, helping you bring what you've got uniquely to them. So yeah,
and I think it also improves the coaching conversation when instead of, and we talk about this all the time in our workshops of, looking at judgments versus behaviors. Here's the behavior I observed versus, oh, that call didn't go very well, or I think you talked too much, right? And if that's your insight is, oh, I think you talked too much, the rep's going to say, well, no, I didn't. I think it was fine. If you come back and say, do you know you talk 76% of the time on this call and you never got the client a chance to answer your question? Now you have some real insights to say, well, what was happening there? Let's talk about, well, what did you like about the call? Now, what could we do differently to maybe get a little bit more information? So again, you're bringing that into the conversation and informing it.
Yeah, great example.
Talk about also, catching them doing things right or, capturing what's working.
And again, yes. So this getting to how can we elevate and promote the behaviors and the practices that we want our reps doing. And again, this is another way to, use this technology again as that first layer of doing this sort of all of this like wide swath of analysis to save you more bandwidth as the human to do what you do best. And so this is, you know, and this is an example here. So using a technology like a conversation intelligence technology to, you know, that has gone through and it's identifying these coachable moments, but then also can identify, you know, a highlight reel of great examples of a certain behavior. So you might type into a search bar, overcoming XYZ objection. And then it's able to pull in examples, great examples of, and stitch together an actual highlight reel of moments from across all of your calls. And I mean, this could be something where you've got maybe, you know, there's maybe a rep out in a territory that, you know, people are not as familiar with them. And, you know, but they've got something great. They've got a nugget of gold that they're using in conversations. This is where you can start to find that and elevate it. And, you know, using this, using a medium like this, where it's video, where again, that human touch. And this is kind of a great example of that, where you can really take this and sort of start to say, you know, here's great examples of what a couple different reps, maybe with a couple different selling styles, for you to emulate. And so it can be really powerful.
Yeah. And I think it really supports some of those, you know, the best practices and the sales approaches, Brian, that you were talking about. If we go back and say, well, what are our top sellers doing? I'll just share, this is from our toolkit, but, you know, just a simple assessment that would have you looking at the proficiency level and the motivation of one of your reps. We actually suggest that you sit down and do this with them, right? Have the individual do it, have them, you know, kind of give their own rating. Let's sit down and have a conversation. You know, these are high level, but you can see the behaviors underneath this. What's really interesting is now we could actually look at the AI to say, well, let's look for these behaviors on calls. Let's analyze what's really working. And Brian, you know, when we're just scratching the surface here, but going back to the sales approaches, we could look for key areas where they're demonstrating, anticipating and translating, which are, you know, the approaches we probably want to reinforce. But any other comments on that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It just goes back to what I was saying a little bit ago of the really critical thing is knowing what you want to be looking for, right? You have to have that target set of, okay, I want to look for things that are reflective of the anticipating approach. So I want to look for them, trying to understand the buying process that's happening within the organization and what their next steps are going to be. And really good examples of that, or I want to look for the examples of people contextualizing the offering in really unique and effective ways, right? So you have to start with, what am I going to look for, before you just go out there and create reels like this. So knowing what the best practices are is the first step.
Yeah. So we now have an additional tool in our toolkit, right, to be able to highlight those areas and then inform the coaching conversations. And I just wanted to touch on, there was one other comment I thought was really insightful, I think from Kevin, who talked about, you know, the time challenge of managers. Unfortunately, we keep putting more and more tasks on the manager's plate, right? And we're creating these additional requirements and thinking about how they're using their time. And it's one of the things we're finding, probably a separate webinar in the future, but looking at time allocation and time spent to see, well, what are they spending their time on? How much of it is with their sellers and customers? And how does that relate to what top performing managers are doing and top performing reps are doing? I think we need to, as he says, remove those impediments. What are those things that are getting in the way of, you know, better coaching and better, you know, leadership of their team? And maybe we can, you know, work to offload some of those things. I'll take, Michael had a question here before we move on. How do you use the sales skill profile without overwhelming the AE? And it's such a fantastic question, because you're right. You give them this checklist, or oftentimes even, you know, the conversational intelligence tool could rate that call and give them feedback. And there are way too many things to focus on. What we suggest is you take this as an opportunity to have a conversation, back to the human to human element, and you prioritize two or three at the most of the skills that are going to make the most difference for that individual. Say, let's work on these this quarter, right? let's just work on discovery and developing needs. You know, how are you asking those questions? How are you uncovering that? Let's reinforce call planning, whatever those things are. But you're right. You don't want to give them, you know, 24 different behaviors to try to fix. But which one or two things are really going to make the biggest difference for them to move the dial to improve? And then when we nail those, we move on, right? Every top athlete knows those two or three limiters that they're working on to improve their game. So it becomes an ongoing conversation. It's not a one and done, right? And we fix it and then it's over with. I just wanted to highlight that as we go along.
Yeah, and to jump in to build on that really quickly. Also, that speaks to the last comment that Bob made here that is, I think, very insightful, that you know, you need to have the structure in place. You need to have a framework for how you're going to assess all the behaviors that are going to lead to success for your company. And, you know, so having that, you know, so you know that there's 24 different behaviors, but you certainly don't need to be focusing on all 24 with every rep, right? I guess that's kind of the point, to kind of tie those two together.
Yep, absolutely. So, well, let's keep going. We wanted to just talk a little bit about, you know, the practical side of this, practical application, specifically around role playing and how that's evolving. And again, not that AI is going to replicate or take over, but there's some really interesting developments that can enhance and improve, you know, how the manager is going about that. So, Jake, can you talk to you a little bit about, you know, what are you seeing around, you know, simulations and sales conversation role playing using AI?
Yeah. So this is, again, another area where you're helping managers be able to bring what they have uniquely to more reps more often, and target that. So this is an example right here of a virtual role play with an AI. So this person on the left here, with those two blue squares in front of him, that's actually completely an AI. That's not a real person. That's an AI. And so what these technologies are now allowing organizations to do is, you've got this person on the right who is a rep, who's a human, and allow them to engage in a dialogue with an AI that has been given the key information about, you know, what are the key objections, what is the offering, all the background that it would need to have a back and forth conversation from the role of a buyer, right? And so now you can have a rep going through and doing a role play with a really, really smart AI that is very much, you know, it's a very human kind of experience that it feels like, but they're able to have that with an AI. And then you as the manager can go back and look at that and provide coaching on that. Show the footage to the rep, highlight, hey, here's a part where when the customer said this, you took the conversation in this direction, but you could have, maybe this was an opportunity to take it in this other direction where that could have been more fruitful, et cetera. So this is allowing managers to be able to really scale their role play, because instead of having to sit down and engage in a 15 to 20 minute role play with the rep and then give them feedback on how they did, well, now you can have an AI do the role play with them and then you give them the feedback on that. And so it gives them the chance to practice, you know, on something that's more like a live customer. It's, you know, gives a lifelike experience, but you don't have the risk of, you know, practicing on a real customer. And so, you know, so it can really kind of, you know, you can kind of boost the effectiveness of the team at a bigger scale.
Yeah. And I think the scale piece is a big part of that, right? It allows the manager to kind of extend their reach, but then focus on those top, you know, priority areas. But Connie had an interesting comment in the chat, you know, saying, well, this is all really dependent on modeling, right? Telling the AI what good looks like. And that really is, you know, the secret sauce. We need to be able to identify those selling behaviors, the approaches, and put them in so it knows what to listen for or model. That's not an insignificant effort. But if we can do that, right, now we can scale across the organization in a different way with consistency, because it's going to get it right if we've defined it right, right? It versus, and you know, having trained hundreds of managers, unfortunately, we don't see the consistency there either, because they're applying their own judgment. They may or may not, take the same approach, and we're not able to necessarily get that consistency we're looking for.
Yeah, that's a great point. And to build on that, it's true. You do have to, there is definitely a upfront cost of saying, okay, we have to program, we have to give it the information. Here's the offering. Here's what it's about. Here are the competitors. Here is the, here are the potential objections. The nice thing that you could, but then from there, the nice thing is that it can recognize a conversational flow. Like, you can tell it, here's the fact. And then if the rep says something, handles an objection in a certain way, not using the exact same words, but it's close enough that it can recognize, a conversational flow. So it does eliminate some of that, but for sure, you've got to, there's definitely upfront work, involved with that.
Yeah. And I think to several of the comments about, it needs to be an organizational initiative. We need to have the sponsorship. We need to define that. And somebody said, well, how do you work that into a schedule or a cadence? And that needs to be part of the implementation, is really saying, we are going to do this X number per week. Or we had a client where the CEO said, I want to see your coaching reports. I want you to send them to me because I'm that passionate about it. And guess what? They got done, right? It happened, and it changed that culture because he was so passionate. I think we need to really think about, what is the expectation, and then build it in. And I'm also a big fan of, in team meetings, saying, hey, we're going to set aside some time to just do a role play, every week, and we're going to assign that, and we're going to practice. And, it shouldn't be, we're going to wait for the next quarterly or annual training event to get a chance to do that. We should be doing the Monday morning, role playing practice and in the moment type exercises as often as we can. So I know we're coming up on the top of the hour. Lots of different ways we can put this into practice. Anything else you would say on, providing that feedback and guidance, Jake, or any other comments, Brian?
I would say the only thing is really just about targeting the points that are where, and then making it easier for the manager, basically prioritizing where to go. That's the key. And that's what this is doing.
Yeah, and the thing I'll add, Ray, is, if you think about, if you go back into the manager's shoes here, there's work that happened in a previous organization I was in. It was called the connector manager. And one thing that was really important about that work was the key to a successful manager is in the preparation for the interactions that their direct report is going to have. And then what happens afterwards? And we see this in our time studies that we do with sales managers, that the best sales managers spend a lot more time preparing for preparing the individual for the interactions they're going to have. So if their people are going to interact with something like this, it's before they do it, having that conversation about, here's what I want you to get out of this, right? And then afterwards, having that conversation is not just like, oh, how was that, right? But getting onto these specific points of, we talked about this aspect of it. What did you learn as you were doing that? And just following through on the thing. So the manager still wants to know, we still want the managers to know what are the things to focus them on. Tools like this can also help them to identify what are those things to focus on. But that preparation and the follow-up really, really matters to an effective interaction, effective use of any tool.
Outstanding. Well, hey, I know people are going to have meetings at the top of the hour here. Just wanted to leave, a pretty simple model, but I think it wraps up a lot of what we're talking about, which is when we talk about the coaching mindset and this 3A framework, 3A model is just a great way to remember that coaching is a conversation. And when we look at that, we say, well, as managers, we should be asking first to get their input. So, put our ego aside, put our judgments aside. Let's ask first and get the input. Let's actively listen. And it's one of those skills that's, very much talked about, but not necessarily implemented well. But are we, setting aside our agenda and really listening to what that rep is saying? And are we assuming they're trying to do a good job and then helping them to remove those roadblocks or work with them versus assuming that they're screwing up or they're not competent or whatever other judgments might get in the way? But I just wanted to share this at the end, because at the end of the day, for me, it really does come back to that conversation, taking everything we've talked about and now enabling the reps and being able to, you know, have those coaching conversations that are actually going to make a difference. And, you know, focusing, there was a comment about focusing on the why, you know, why are we doing this, which the AI probably isn't going to get to. They can say, you know, what we should do or look for certain things, but this is why it's important. Let's have a conversation around that and help the individual. And it's some of what we covered in an article, and we'll have a link to this, but that Brian and I collaborated with another colleague, Nick Toman, who was one of the co-authors originally of the Challenger Customer and is with SBI as well, but around leveraging AI and how it really shouldn't be just for efficiency, but we really need to get to that effectiveness component and a lot of the things that we've talked about today. So I'll just leave there as, you know, that's another reference and a way to tie this together. I know there was one other question about, you know, well, how do we leverage AI for selling? And I think that's going to be a whole nother webinar and conversation. But I guess the high point I would leave with there is we need to think about leveraging AI, not just to automate the top of the funnel, but how are we using it to help the rep become a better seller? So in the call research and understanding the personas and really diving in to what makes that company tick and being more informed. I think there's so many areas that we can leverage it to help create better sales conversations. I guess that's my takeaway there. So we covered a lot of ground. We wanted to talk about what top sellers are doing. How do we leverage AI to kind of look into that a little bit and get those insights? How do we create a sales coaching conversation, leveraging the data and insights, and really encourage that human-to-human element?
The market is changing, making sales skills more important than ever before. How to transform your team into peak performers? If you want the answer, plus free resources for podcast listeners, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.